What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Colorado Show, brought to you by CDM and the Colorado Free Press. How you doing today, Darren?
I'm fantastic. Greetings, everybody. We have arrived. So, how are you?
Yeah, doing? I'm great. We've got a pretty packed show today. We're going to talk about the suburban intifada that happened yesterday in Superior.
How do you call it the suburban?
Some of these things name themselves, man. We've got videos. We've got Elliot Fladen, the organizer, one of the organizers of the counter protest out there. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what their demands are. I also want to get into what it actually means if they were to put the BDS agenda into play on CU campus. I mean, campuses anywhere. But we're going to get into all of that. We also have some stories about crime, and we'll talk a little bit about the Trump conviction and Jenna Ellis's reaction to the Trump conviction, which she's super thrilled about it because it takes focus off of the fact that she was just had her law license suspended.
But we're going to for real?
Yeah, oh yeah. 3 years. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. Where the heck was I?
Yeah, what? Where you? Exactly. Where have you been?
When did this happen?
Yeah, just last week. So we've got so much to get into. First, we're going to hit one of our incredible sponsors, My Patriot Supply. We will be right back.
Well, it's another day, another breaking news story buried. They'd rather talk about anything else than what's really going on. And it's not because they don't know what's happening. The media pundits and talking heads just don't want you paying attention. The real stories, you have to look beyond the headlines for those. We do that at CDM. You know the truth is being covered up. Prepare for what will come with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans get ready for the worst. Today, their best-selling three-month emergency food kits are flying off the shelves. I've seen it. Get yours right now at my website, preparewithcdm.com. This food kit offers over 2,000 calories every day, plus ultra-durable four-layer packaging. It lasts up to 25 years in storage. Order all the kits you need right now for $200 off each. Free shipping included. You've been warned about what can happen. Don't live in fear. Take back of your future because this isn't just food. It's freedom. Stock up on these food kits at preparewithcdm.com. Preparewithcdm.com.
All right. Preparewithcdm.com. Everybody get prepared. Make sure that you can, you know, if the supply chain goes down, if there's delays, if there's, you know, increasing unrest, as we've seen, it's good to be prepared and to have some supplies on hand. All right, let's get into it. We are going to bring on Mr. Elliot Fladen. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me aboard.
Yeah, so you, I believe, helped plan the counter protest yesterday in Superior. Tell us a little bit about, what happened yesterday.
So, you know, the planning is a little bit of an overstatement. I found out just a few days ago that we're going to have all the pro-Hamas people descend upon our small town. And I put something up, I think, like the night before on Facebook and one or two places that I was going to be there with signs and a bullhorn. And if anyone wanted to join in, they could. So, you know, people may have been organizing beforehand. But the original advertisement for this was that they were going to meet at 2 o'clock to assemble and then do God knows what. That's the pro-Hamas people in Superior. And I show up with, I think it's about 20 people on our side, and there's no one. There's like two or three from their side at 2 o'clock. And they end up moving their assembly point to a different location in our town to 3 o'clock. Some of us tried finding out where it was. We get there, and then they move to another location, which was CU Regent's personal residence.
Yeah.
By the time I think there was about 40 of them got there, our numbers had dwindled from like 20 to about 10 or so. We lost about half our numbers just from all the movement around and people having to do other engagements. But then there was then they started chanting in front of the CU Regent's house. And some of their chanting was, just to be blunt, racist and anti-Semitic. Yeah. They had, and I wish I could find video of it. They were chanting repeatedly for what's called intifada, which is the global, there was people with shirts saying global, shirts and signs saying globalizing intifada. And there were people, and they had chants for intifada where and then intifadas for viewers to know is when they in Israel a decade or two ago or three, they went around and murdered civilians in the street, in their homes, buses, suicide bombings. That was the second intifada. So when you hear intifada, that's a call not to attack military targets, but to kill Jews where you find them, especially when they say globalize the intifada. Right. So that's what we were having in our town yesterday.
Yeah, I want to share.
It's actually a CBS News clip that I'm seeing right here.
So this is Denver. This is not in Superior yesterday, but this is in Denver. And you can see globalize the intifada.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I heard the chant globalize the intifada, but we had they definitely chanted for intifada multiple times.
So we have a couple of videos from the protest that we're going to play, but I want to, so they're at the CU Regent's house. Can you, do you have a idea as to why they decided to protest at the CU Regent's house?
Because they're upset that the that even though there's polling on this from Cap Harris, I think it's like it's 1/3 or less of America agrees with them, but that right. CU does not accede to their temper tantrum demands. They have demands. They want CU to do something. CU's not doing it.
And they so want CU to divest from Israel.
What are they asking for besides divestment? They asking for like food and stuff like all the other.
Ah, God, I lose track of their demands. I mean, I think there's DSA has a set of demands. I think one of DSA's demands, and I don't know if this is SDS's demands, but I saw one demand is that, you know, officials or people involved or who gets their group endorsement can't go to Israel. And if they go there, they have to go only on a Palestinian Authority approved tour, stuff like that. Where,
what?
Yeah, that was, I think, the Denver DSA, their platform they passed a few weeks or months ago. I saw something along those lines, but I mean, it's their demands run the gamut, but it's based upon the widely repeated but repeatedly debunked lie that Israel is engaged in a genocide and therefore it should not have people invest with it. And that's just total bullcrap.
So Denver DSA, that's the Denver School of Arts, right?
No, Denver Socialists for America. You get different, you get these alphabets.
I told you, Darren, every time we do this, every single week, it's communism.
No, the Denver Communists are one of the main organizers. It's the Colorado Palestine.
They're called that too? There's a group.
No, so what it is what they have is it's the Colorado Palestine Coalition, and they have constituent groups. Right. I think it's there's one group, PSL, Party for Social Justice and Liberation. There's the Denver Socialists of America and the Students for a Democratic Society. These are, most of these groups, not all of them, but most of them are groups that at least claim to be socialist and or communists, and sometimes groups that are just outright communists. But these are the constituent groups.
Socialists and communists that enjoy capitalism. It makes total sense.
They are using telephones. They are using Israeli-made cell phone technology to plan their meetings out and Israeli bullhorns to broadcast their blood libels and lies. But
that's the one thing that I think is just stunning about the demand, the BDS movement broadly, is has there been any assessment done, we'll say by CU, because they're protesting CU this weekend. Has there been any assessment done on what that would look like? What it would look like if CU were to completely divest of the Israeli, Israeli business, Israeli inventions?
You'd have to ask CU. That's not information I have. What I can tell you and why I came on here was not so much that, you know, how ridiculous their BDS demands were, because they are not that the demand itself to divest is anti-Semitic, it is, but the more clear anti-Semitism that they were on the streets chanting for the murder of Jews.
All right, and so let's get into some of these videos, because we'll see, I think I have some chance on here. Mm-hmm. So we'll do this one first.
You have to go to Facebook.
Huh, I will, on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they were chanting there?
I think it was up, up with liberation, down, down with occupation. The idea is that Israel, it's interesting how they would define occupation. They claim that some of Israel's land, if not all of it, is occupied land, and because it's occupied, land. They had another chant: resistance is justified when the people are occupied. In other words, because there's occupied land, you can have resistance. And what Hamas has been doing, especially on October 7th, rape, whatever, even though they'll deny some of Hamas's things, despite the fact that Hamas broadcast it live, that is justified because it's just Hamas resisting Israel's illegal and illegitimate occupation of the ancestral homeland of the self-identified Palestinian people.
Rape and self-defense. Go ahead, Darren.
Who is writing these rap lyrics for these people?
Okay, so it's not Antifa. They have these toolkits. There's one of my friends tracked, and who shall remain nameless, tracked them down. They were spreading them around. I can't remember if it was like right before October 7th or right after. There's some very interesting things where I think some of these groups started reactivating like the day before October 7th, I remember seeing. But no, they have these toolkits with chants. I actually have some of them I can send over to you guys. I'll do that. Actually, give me a second. I'll message you. I hope I didn't lose you. Give me a second here.
You went dark for a second, but it's
hold on for
we
one
can
second.
Still hear you. You're good.
I'm going to send you. I'll send you a snapshot of one of their toolkits. You should have that now. But it's some chance from their toolkit, but they'll do it over and over again across. Okay. Is my camera still there? It looks like my camera.
Yeah, we can see you.
Okay. So they have chance. They're done more, I think, by a larger national or international organization or leadership. We've not tracked the funding, but these are not coincidental chants. They're spread and disseminated from a toolkit that the groups that are sympathetic to can access.
I mean, I look at it like this. If you can get that many people to rap your lyrics, you're going platinum. This is ridiculous.
No, it's not that tough. What happens is the people there, they know it's like one person will be on a bullhorn. I've seen a few of these.
Right.
And the person and on a bullhorn, and they just repeat like robots, whatever's being said. Some of the lyrics were actually in, so I think one or two of the chants were in Arabic. We had an Arabic speaker in our group, so we knew what they were saying. It was kind of funny.
No clue what they were saying.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'd have to get the person here who would talk, but she told me what they said. I forget it. But yeah, they had one or two that was in Arabic that, you know, they're just, these kids don't know. I don't want to call them kids. Some of them are like middle age women or men with dyed hair that are live action role playing being a college student. So it's kind of like a LARP fest. Some of them, but you know, how many of them are actually students? I couldn't tell you. Some do appear to be, you know, college dropouts. Oh yeah, here we go.
Donald Trump, you will see. Al-Aqsa will be free.
Al-Aqsa is the mosque on top of the Western Wall. So what they're saying, and actually the Muslims do control Al-Aqsa today. So what they're saying is they're going to liberate Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, from Jewish control. And that goes to that they're not really looking for a ceasefire. They're looking to conquer and destroy Israel.
Not another nickel, not another dime. No more money for Israel's crime. From the belly of the beast, no justice, no peace. Israel, Israel, you shall learn. By the millions will return. No arms trade. Draw the line. Rise up for Palestine. Rise up, don't back down. No Zionism in our town. There's a whole bunch more.
Look at the next two. The next two are great.
We will honor all our martyrs, all the children, sons, and daughters.
They chanted that.
We will honor all our martyrs, all the parents, mothers, fathers.
Suicide. Go to the next chance. They got chance where they're saying they don't want no there's what's that one shit? Hold on, I'm gonna go dark for a second.
Free the children, free them all.
No. Next one. Settler, go back home. Palestine is ours alone. Free the people, free the land. Justice is our demand. And then look at the last one. That's the one that's directly on point for all the people saying they want a ceasefire.
We don't want two states, we want 48.
Yep.
Hey,
and that's referring to 1948.
Free Israel's existence. No, yep. Two. They don't want two state. They're advocating for. And I think the one who did their chants was within our lifetime. It's a New York group because they had a few chants that seemed to be along. You should look them up sometimes. They're really extremist, more extreme than the usual groups. But what they're advocating for is the destruction of Israel. And it's not just the destruction of Israel because if they're having chants for Intifada, they had people wearing shirts with "Globalize the Intifada" as a phrase. And I'm pretty sure I heard a chant saying "Globalize the Intifada" at one point. That means they're looking. You know, they're looking to have at least the people who wrote the chant, whether these people are smart enough to realize what they're saying is a separate question. They're saying a chant that advocates for the violence and or murder of Jews worldwide. So every synagogue that needs a security guard, you know, every service that has to have an evacuation plan, every Jewish preschool where the parents are afraid to drop their kids off, they're saying, yeah, that's warranted, that's justified.
They tried that out here. So I think it was funny because Ron DeSantis ended up I guess certain counties, you know, they gave more police presence in front of, like, you know, Hebrew schools and things like that. And then, you know, we had like a 10-minute protest in Miami that got shut down fast. That didn't last long, you know, but I did hear some of those chants as they were getting carried away. So, yeah, it's crazy. It is a mess.
All right, let's go to this next one here.
Great, all 10. Stand up. Look at all 10 of them, huh?
Yeah, well, no, there was 10 of us. There's probably, I'd say at that point, there's probably like 30 of them. There's between 30 to 50 of them total, so I've been averaging at 40, but I might be on the high side. They had us outnumbered, but no, with their chant, Rise Up, Fight Back, they were, it's a chant for violence.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, and especially when you couple it with their chants for Intifada. So what we're looking to do in Superior, Colorado, we're hoping that people in Denver do the same thing. If you had the Ku Klux Klan has the right to go marching down the street and chant racist things, burning crosses. SDS and these groups, if they want to chant murdering Jews, they have a First Amendment right to do that too, sometimes. Mm-hmm. As long as there's exceptions, but I'm not getting into those exceptions. But just because they have the right to do it doesn't mean the rest of us have to stay silent. Mm. When you see the KKK marching through your town, you say, we don't agree with that. You condemn it. And because SDS was marching through our town and marching through the city of Denver, it means that the city and town governments of those municipalities have, I think, a moral obligation, or at least should strongly consider condemning a call to murder a vulnerable minority.
Here's the problem. I totally understand what you're saying. Yes, immorally, it is disgusting, but that right that they have to peacefully protest, as long as they don't cause any chaos, like damage to property,
I'm not saying the protests get shut down. I'm not saying the protests get shut down. They may have violated noise ordinances. They may have blocked the road. Those are separate questions. But ignoring those issues, I'm not saying it shut down. I'm saying just because you have a right to protest in peace doesn't mean you have a right to not be condemned.
That's true. You
get your speech, and you also suffer the consequences that do not, as long as they don't involve deprivation of liberty for your speech. Yeah. One of those consequences is we get to judge you, not in court, but in the court of public opinion. Here we have Students for Democrat Society, which thinks that they're like this social justice organization, but was literally in my town calling and chanting for the murder of half my family.
Yeah.
Based upon their racial status.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, you know, Darren and I have been covering the campus protests since they really got started. Mm-hmm. And we've speculated what's going to happen when they leave campus, because they're going to, of course, mm-hmm. they're going to leave campus. And now we're talking about them being in, not just in the small town of Superior, Colorado, but at the residence of a CU region. They have the right to do it. They have the right to protest. I think it's bad form, and I don't think it helps your cause to show up at people's homes and threaten murder outside of their homes. But you mentioned, and I have your Facebook post with your, you know, what you're asking for. We'll get to that in a second. But this video, as I understand it, the Superior mayor was there.
That is the mayor.
That's the mayor.
He's smart.
So I can cut the video. The green shirt.
Yeah, that's Lysis. He was there. He was at the first location. There was another town trustee. Neil Shaw was there. My understanding is they were not supposed to be there. They were supposed to stay away. Whatever. You know, it's a free country. They can do what they want to do. They did not. The town of Superior did not encourage this. I've seen that idea going around.
Okay.
They actually took some very ingenious steps. I want to give them some credit to prevent this from getting out of hand. They went the meeting place that they were supposed to go, which was South Pool in Superior. They actually barricaded so you couldn't park cars there. And then at the school across, you know, a little bit down the street, they barricaded that parking lot too. So, you know, they tried to stop places where people, where they thought they would go so people couldn't get there and stop cars. And, you know, then assemble and, you know, intimidate people because they have the right to barricade. You can park someplace else if you want. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get the impression that they were encouraging this. But this is, so I don't think that LACIS or the town trustees as collectively should be condemned at this time. That said, this is Pride Month. The town's making a very big deal about Pride Month. It's making a big deal about us being a town that tolerates people are discriminated against. Yeah. And if they're, that's fine. I'm not criticizing that. But if you're going to do that and say that's your values, you better be consistent with it. So if you're going to say you're a tolerant town, don't exclude the Jews. Well, if you're going to say you stand against discrimination, don't exclude the Jews. The fight against discrimination is not that, you know, it's Jews plus one other group, that Jews need to have some other group with them discriminated against to also have protection. It means that you condemn discrimination against all groups, Jews included.
I mean, you want to get universities to divest from you know, Israeli investments and things like that. After that, then what? What's the next move?
With the plan, if you want to get into like the foreign policy plan of it, the basic idea is to isolate Israel first on a sort of moral level, and then sort of have a corporation's pressure not to do business or trade with it, so that you throttle its economy, so that if it comes a point in time where Israel is not able to have money to invest in its military, if the in the United States or other countries that are aiding it or allying it change their mind that it can't defend itself. It's a long-term plan to strangle Israel's ability to defend itself. And it's I don't want to say it's step one, but it's not step 10. It's somewhere in the middle. And divestment is a step on that path to isolate Israel economically. And that's what they're aiming for.
They're going to have a hard time doing that.
As hard as you think. Historically, Israel was – other countries wouldn't trade with Israel. Pete, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world, and the Arab world would not trade with it. Many other countries would not trade with it. And look what – and they view it as a South African example. And South Africa was rightly – Israel's being wrongly tarred as a apartheid regime. Its economy got throttled. And Israel is very – it's a very small piece of land. It is very dependent upon international trade. You cut off its international trade, you cut off its ability to fund its defense.
Right.
That's the idea. And divestment is a step towards that direction.
I want to go back to the mayor for a second, because you said, you know, they're not encouraging this. They didn't enable this protest, and they did do some things to, you know, make it harder.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if, as you said, we're talking about inclusion this month, we're talking about, you know, everybody's rights. For the mayor to stand outside while a group of people shouts for the essentially wiping Jews off the planet. That's what from the river to the sea means, wiping the state of Israel out. It's what Intifada means, is an open call to go kill Jews. Not condemning that is peak hypocrisy, particularly as you were saying, when you're, you know, screeching about inclusion in Pride Month.
And so here's going to be the test. Their next town council meeting is June 11th. Mayor LACIS has indicated that he's willing to consider some form of resolution on this. The devil's going to be in the details. If it's a mealy mouth resolution that says we condemn discrimination in all of its forms, you know, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, no, that doesn't cut it. There was no Islamophobia on display that day. Okay, there was no chance against Muslims.
But you got it. They're doing it.
But there was anti-Semitism, so there needs to be a specific condemnation of what of the group SDS and what it chanted.
They can't do that. It's the PR. It's the PR routine, man.
They can.
Like, public relations
look at the polling on this. There's substantial polling on this issue. These protesters, I saw a poll in the last 2 weeks, are like one of the most unpopular groups in America. And last time I looked at Cap Harris. Was like in March, but when I saw the cap, they came out with monthly polls on this issue. Like 2/3 of America agrees that there should be a ceasefire if Hamas surrenders and releases the hostages.
I totally get that. But we can even look at our federal government and see how they're on the seesaw. They don't even know, like, 1 week is this, 1 week it's that, 1 week it's Islamophobia, next week it's anti-Semitism. They're trying to play both sides of the fence.
If there was a group that, you know, was targeting, let's use Mexicans, for example. My wife's Mexican. Right.
Right.
You wouldn't say when you condemn that group, if they had like, you know, a bunch of racist slogans, we condemn racism against Mexicans and black people or Mexicans and Jews or Mexicans and Asians, because it was the Mexicans in that situation were targeted. Mm-hmm. If there was a group that was marching down, you know, talking about, you know, enslaving black people again, you wouldn't say, oh yeah, we condemn racism against black people and racism against Jews or racism against black people and racism against Mexicans. You would say we condemn this racism against black people because that was the group targeted.
What they'll typically say is, we condemn hatred of any kind, any discrimination of all sorts.
Like, so it depends. It depends. It depends on what the group is. I think if in certain situations, I've seen condemnations which are group specific. Right. I've seen, you know, when people are racist against blacks or Mexicans, group specific. I'm pretty sure I've seen group specific condemnations. The question here is whether the politicians in Superior, Colorado, and Denver, do not let Denver off the hook, because that image you show to globalize the Intifada, that's from Denver. Whether these politicians can issue a group specific, you know, a condemnation about racism that's groups against a specific group and only that group.
But you know how they did it in the federal government? I'm gonna tell you exactly how this happened. Happen in 1 week. I watched Kamala say we condemn Islamophobia in one press conference, and then I watched KJP say we condemn anti-Semitism. They split it in half, and they made sure they covered both. I watched it happen in a span of 3 days.
Yeah, I want to put a fine point on what you're saying, Elliot, because the summer of 2020, Black Lives Matter, there was an issue with George, you know, what happened to George Floyd. Mm-hmm. There was no need to say we condemn police violence against every single population that's ever been targeted by the police. It was Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying is that it's never Jewish lives matter. It's we condemn Jews, hate against Jews and black people. We condemn hate against Jews and Mexicans. It's not okay for Jews to be protected class in and of themselves as it pertains to how the narrative works around this issue.
It's actually even worse than that. Because, you know, take myself, okay? I don't believe in Judaism. I haven't believed in it for like 30 some years, maybe more.
Right.
So people would say discrimination against Jews is just religious discrimination. I have had white supremacist websites target me. I have a video clip I could share with you one of these days of someone call me an effing Jew in the last month at the Auraria campus when they had the encampment over there. I don't believe in Judaism, but I'm still called Jewish. Now, why would that be if it's not a race? Yeah. But there's denial from a lot of these groups that Jews are a racial class. They say it's just a religion. Well, if it's just a religion, why am I called Jewish? I don't believe in it. I haven't believed in it for, you know, three quarters of my life. But so it's not just that they're not willing to include Jews, you know, have something about Jews being a protected class. They're not even willing to acknowledge it's a class in the first place.
I say that the same people, and I could be wrong, it might be a different group of people, but I think it's the same group of people that has the conspiracy theory that the vaccines were specifically targeted to spare Jews because of their genetic makeup. Have you heard that? Because you can't have that.
There's so many conspiracy theories.
You can't have that both ways, though. You can't have it both ways, that they're not racial, but also that their racial characteristics enable them to be protected in ways other than others.
I think the conspiracy theory, you get anti-Semites on the left and the right, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the one, fact. The people I'm talking about who deny Jews as a racial class tend to be the leftist anti-Semites. You know, if you go back like two or three years before October 7th, I think Whoopi Goldberg had issued an apology because she's like, Jews aren't a race. It's just a religious group. And it's like, excuse me, I'm pretty sure Hitler thought otherwise. So I wish he had gotten that memo from you, Whoopi. We could have just said it was a big misunderstanding.
The whole war could have been over before.
Yeah, forget the Holocaust. Yeah. We're really just master race Aryans. A big misunderstanding. No, so what the left does on this issue, and the right has its own issue with anti-Semitism, but the left, it's not just that they're not willing to have a condemnation of racism aimed at Jews and solely Jews. They're not even willing to concede or say or admit that Jews are a racial category in of itself. They deny it. They just call Jews white people, and as white people, they are oppressors. And as oppressors, that they are actually beneficiaries of discrimination. It's good to know that. You know, when people are trying to kill me, I'm really just a beneficiary of discrimination. It's good to know.
It's very interesting how that works. Like, I never understood that either. I mean, I live in Florida, so I grew up around.
Where are you living in Florida?
I'm in South Florida. So there's a lot.
Where's South Florida? Where's South Florida? My mom's in Boynton. My mom's in Boynton. My grandma, before she died, a place in Naples.
They're just north of me.
Nice.
Well,
he was born in Colorado, though. He thanks his parents all the time for leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. So let's get to, you have, let's see if I can pull this up in a way that doesn't take your, take our face there. Okay. That's good. That's fine. And we could cover my face. All right. So you have put up, do you want me to read this? Or are you going to read it?
You can read it. It's fine.
Given that we had a KKK type group calling for violence and murder of Jews yesterday in the town of Superior Streets, calling for Intifada repeatedly, I'd like to see a resolution like the following issued by the town at the next town meeting. Whereas 1, Students for Democratic Society conducted an unpermitted rally in the middle of Superior Residential Street on June 1st, 2024. During that rally, they repeatedly called for Intifada. 3, calls for Intifada are calls to commit violence against and or murder Jews globally. 4, before SDS's actions on June 1st, 2024, synagogues and Jewish community centers in the Denver and Boulder metropolitan area had already been subjected to bomb threats and had to hire private security. 5, the town of Superior is a town that stands against racism in all forms and stands for tolerance. 6, SDS's June 1st chance for Intifada in a Superior residential neighborhood to the extent allowed by the First Amendment in the first place were racist in nature and add to risks of violence in the Jewish community that the Jewish community already faces. Accordingly, the town of Superior Town Council issues this resolution condemning SDS for its racism on June
1st,
2024. Mm. Love this. That's what I hope your listeners, I hope you, each of you, even though you're not Town of Superior residents, Google Town of Superior. They have phone numbers. You can say you're concerned citizens. You can say you got a podcast, you got viewership, you saw this. I would ask you to call them up. Actually, let's look up their number now, you know, Town of Superior, because you can find it online. Hold on. Oops, I don't want to do that because I'll exit out of your thing. Look up Town of Superior on Google. Call them up. Superior, Colorado, not Wisconsin. There's two Superiors.
Right.
And tell them that they need to do a resolution like this. Because the proof's going to be in the pudding. They claim to be for tolerance. But are they actually going to support it? We'll see.
See, this would have never happened if Ron DeSantis was in Colorado. Oh, God.
For heaven's sake, Darren, stop simping for Florida on the Colorado show. All right, Elliot, where can people find you, and what do you have next on deck?
I'm not findable. I'm not an organizer. This is in my neighborhood, and I'm not someone looking to be found. Elliot's so like, I have Elliot, next on deck. I don't have anything next on deck.
Elliot's like, I'm not even on this show.
I'm incognito.
Well, we appreciate you coming on very much problem. And sharing what's going on. And we'll clip this interview and we'll have it up at Colorado Free Press tomorrow, where people can see the. You know, all of the things that we discussed, and do that call to action to call the town City Council of Superior. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, don't forget Denver. Don't forget Denver.
And Denver. Don't let Denver off the hook.
Yep. Take care. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, man. You guys are going through it.
Yeah, it's always something. All right. So let's hit our next couple of sponsors and then we're going to get into crime updates. We will be right back.
Contagion Kit is something new. Can you tell us about that and what's in it and what it's for?
Well, the Contagion Kit is specifically geared towards a respiratory virus. It mm-hmm. includes some of the medications that we've been talking about that are well known to be able to treat respiratory viruses. And mm-hmm. importantly, it includes a nebulizer, a mm-hmm. way to aerosolize a liquid medication so that you can breathe it into the lungs. Mm-hmm. Again, these kits are not meant to replace your doctor or a relationship with a doctor. They are not meant for you to fly solo. We have telemedicine visits mm-hmm. available if you have any questions about the symptoms you're having. There is a booklet in there as well that supports and kind of coaches you through what symptoms you may be having from something. So these aren't meant to be a panacea to replace mm-hmm. everything in medicine. It's a way, however, for people to feel and to be prepared to be at the ready, to be more resilient, and to be more immune from the sorts of intrusions that we saw during COVID, where your insurance company or your own doctor or the pharmacist or the pharmacy was refusing to let people get a hold of medication.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
This is a special report. Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
We sure are. All right. You want to talk about crime?
Yo, hold on.
I know, feels like Groundhog Day when we talk about crime, because it's
I think it's hilarious, especially when there's stupid crimes. But just before we get rolling on that, in a staggering financial haul, the Donald Trump campaign has raised an eye-popping 200 milli.
Yeah.
Since the former president
200 million now?
200 milli.
Yeah, did you see him at the let's just jump. We'll switch. We'll do crime at the end. We'll talk about Trump now. Did you see him at the UFC last night?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Let's see if we can pull that up for the audience, because that, you know, I'm assuming everybody has seen that now.
But oh, and Annie joined TikTok.
Annie joined TikTok at the UFC.
And he has more. He already has more followers than Biden.
Yeah, here we go. All right, hang on. He has over
2 million followers. Video. Biden has 337,000 followers. Trump has 2.2 million.
and Biden has done, I think, that like 2,500 posts or something. Maybe it was less, 200 posts. It started with a two. Could have been 1,000, could have been 100. Regardless, been pushing content, trying to build a following over there on TikTok, the Biden campaign, Biden Harris HQ over on TikTok. And in 24 hours, Trump blows all of their metrics out of the water, because Biden is the most popular president we've ever had in American history. And he totally got, as my friend Chris Paul would say, 81 million real lawful American votes.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's check this out.
Costa also with us tonight. 45 being ushered in by UFC CEO Dana White. Donald Trump is in the building, and the former president getting a standing ovation from the assembled masses here at UFC 302.
He looks really unpopular, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's just terrible. Like, nobody, it looks like nobody likes him. This has got to be the scariest thing to watch.
Well, you had a sneaking suspicion that former President Trump would be in the building for UFC 302. He is a rabid mixed martial arts fan. I kind of feel like he's betting on these fights when he's not actually here.
Boy, the round of applause he's getting right now is pretty staggering. And you had to imagine that's what was going to happen. Thank you, sir.
Donald Trump with it.
He's so convicted. You know,
that has got to be like the every time the establishment sees that, they've got to be disgusted. I know they're probably like, we're screwed.
Yeah, during one of the fight, you can hear there's. I actually wonder if I can find that.
Did you see when all the fighters kept every fighter greeted him?
Yeah,
they
kept jumping over, but there is a part where it's in the middle. I'm gonna find this. Let's see if it's this one. Yeah, here we go.
This is gonna be it. Wow.
I saw somebody, social person yesterday, social influencer person say, I know it seems like he's really popular, but none of those people vote. Sounds like Cope.
What?
Sounds like Cope.
Yeah, and it sounds like Coke.
Yeah. We have up at coloradofreepress.com. Folks can check this out. Let me show. We're not going to read it all. We've got We've got a few different opinion pieces coming out about the conviction. One we have up right now, Gloat While You Still Can. Hey, honey, bring your boyfriend in here. They got him. They got Trump. This is... originally posted at consular.com. You can go check that out at Colorado Free Press. And let's see what else we got. Oh, so you know who is very happy about President Trump taking the heat?
Aside from The View?
Off of the headlines. It's the one right there.
Ah.
So she's been real, Jenna Ellis. We have such terrible Jennas in this state. Jenna Ellis.
What's it with the Jennas?
I know, right? It's like, run. If you, woman named Jenna, listen, boys, PSA to all the men out there. A woman named Jenna from Colorado starts hitting on you, run.
I thought it was, I used to say, it was, you know, never trust a woman named Susan, but.
I think the state, maybe that's true for Florida. Yeah. Although my mom lives in Florida and her name is Susan, and you can totally trust her.
Okay. But we'll make an exception.
Colorado Jennas are problematic. So yeah. So Wednesday, she lost her had her law license suspended for 3 years because of her conduct in I always say Rico like it's Fannie Willis's last
name. No, we call it Fannie Rico. Her name is Fannie Pack Willis. Okay. Fannie Pack Willis.
Yeah. So she is suspended from practicing law for 3 years in the state. Up at coloradofreepress.com, you can read the final order. We have that up. But she's been very, I can't say that word.
Have they been cooking her?
That word on the air.
I know they've been cooking her on X. They have to. I know they've been destroying her. Huh?
She's very mouthy on X. Her biggest thing is that there are, according to Morning Consult, which is a poll that was published in Newsweek.
Right.
So super authoritarian, credible sources, right? There is 15% of the Republican base that will never vote for Donald Trump. And she says that's a big problem. Now, there's about 2/3 of independents that I think are going to vote for Donald Trump. And there's probably at least 15% of Democrats that are going to vote for Donald Trump.
Did you see the percentage of new donations that came in? People that have never donated ever in life? Like,
yeah, well, you know what I have noticed is how many people you and I met in crypto spaces, mm-hmm. Over a year ago. And that crowd, which is large in my experience, maybe 50-50, never Trump, right? There are, you know, people that you and I both know that would cut off their own arm before they would go and vote for Donald Trump. A lot of the people in that community are now saying, damn it, y'all are making me vote for Trump. because you're weaponizing the justice system and everybody can see that this is corrupt. So now I don't want to vote for Donald Trump. I hate Donald Trump, but you're making me vote for Donald Trump. That's the reaction to the 34 count and conviction. It's that people are like, oh, this is some bullshit. Not people are cheering, yay, we got him. There are some of those, very small number.
I mean, I did see like saw Whoopi and all them getting excited. I saw Sunny Hostin talking about that she heard through the grapevine that Alvin Bragg's office said they're gonna recommend a year in Rikers. Like, really? Really? You gonna put the man in Rikers? You may as well just start moving Joe out now. Yeah. Like, if you put that man in cuffs, you may as well just start moving Joe Biden stuff out the White House. Right.
Listen, if you want to make Rikers great again, put Donald Trump in there. He'll whip that place into shape. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. I wonder if I can find that clip. Yeah. Where he was saying, you know, his team, like his lawyers were like, don't say that you don't mind going to jail. And he's like, I'm not begging you for anything.
Right.
You don't beg for anything.
Yep. Yeah. Mar-a-Lago Island. Mar-a-Lago Part 2.
You know? Yeah, no, they've got to. Oh, that is not okay. That is not a good search on Twitter.
What?
Search, don't beg for anything on Twitter. Oh, public service announcement.
Gotcha.
We're not, thankfully, we weren't sharing the screen when the search results popped up. All right, moving on.
Okay, let me write that down. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah.
Check that.
Yeah.
Later.
So Jenna, the reason we're talking about this on the Colorado show is because Jenna Ellis, her law license has been suspended for 3 years and she's real mouthy about it. And I want to just pull up, if I can get out of the, make sure we don't have any inappropriate, where is she? Jenna Ellis. Hold for processing, everybody.
Hold on. This is my question real quick. Why are the pro-Palestinian protesters clashing with Pride Parade participants in Philly? Mm. Are they eating their own? This is crazy. internal clashes.
Yeah, here. So you can see she's very concerned about the 15% of Republicans who will not vote for Donald Trump, according to Morning Consult. She posted about it a whole bunch of times yesterday and today. Out of control, damning report is the worst news yet for President Biden. And yet too many of them would still vote for Biden. Too many, according to who's
like, metric. Hey, where's she getting this information from? She just.
Yeah.
Is it like a thing where like, okay, well, we're just going to say that this is the case and then people will get discouraged or something? Is that
well, all that money with no plan to win. This is her talking about Steve Bannon. Hint, this is their plan, fundraising and doing nothing. She gets in here yesterday. We've got, there was a bunch of things. She's like, I'm just going to keep saying it. What's the plan to win? Now, what she means about when she says, what's the plan? You can't win. What's the plan? What she means is, what's the plan to get me and my 15% up generously of the Republican base to vote for President Trump? What she doesn't understand is that we don't need you. We don't need you. Look at how President Trump is polling with the Black community. Look at how President Trump is polling with the Hispanic community. Look at how he's doing with the LGBTQ community. People don't want communism. And it's obvious that the authoritarianism of the Biden regime is going to expand in a second term to where America will be unrecognizable. It's already unrecognizable. Look around, right? And so what about me and my Lincoln Project Never Trump buddies? Bitch, sit down. We don't need you. And I want to know, Twitter, Elon Musk, why is it that I mute her ass and she still shows up in my feed?
She still pops up, man. Because you know
there's a few of those.
What is it? You know what it is? It's because somebody else retweets it that you follow. I've had that dilemma.
Yeah. Well, it's annoying. And unfollow the people that are retweeting Jenna Ellis because seriously, you're too stupid to live. Okay, that was a little mean. You could maybe live in a padded room with oversight and a nanny.
She could go live in a padded room with Robert De Niro. This fool.
Oh, I wasn't talking about her. I was talking about the people that retweet her.
Oh, them too. Because apparently Robert De Niro thinks that he's in panic. He's like, if Donald Trump wins, he'll come after me.
Oh my God, I loved that press conference so much.
Oh, he got cooked.
It was so good. Especially, he's like, you're standing there with Trader, and he's like, what? What are you saying? I don't even know what to do.
I don't even know how to.
Because you don't know that the two guys behind you lied under oath, you dumbass.
Yo, he's like, excuse me. He's like, excuse me?
All right. So what else do we have? We've got crime. So let's talk crime. We've just got a few minutes left. We'll just do the crime. We do have up on, and if you go to the show post on Colorado Free Press, we've got all the articles we were planning on covering today, which there's about seven we didn't get to. So definitely go check those out. But let's talk about crime.
Time for some
you know
crime.
How much we love crime. You know, crime is equity.
I wish I had the Law and Order theme on here.
Crime, so good. I'm telling you, we have to do a show where you show up as Detective Tutorola. It's one of my favorite things ever.
I got news for you.
Yeah, it means you're gay. Fox 31 is reporting a 21% decrease in stolen cars statewide, while also reporting that Douglas County is one of the only counties actively investigating and prosecuting vehicle theft. Turns out when you don't investigate and prosecute, the crime stats go down.
Oh, that's new. Yeah,
it's nice. Gaming the metrics is it's not just a Colorado thing. It's not just a Denver thing. It is a Biden administration thing. And I think it's, you know, a uniparty thing to just change the underlying factors that determine the metric. They do this with unemployment. They do, you know, jobs created. Obama famously got rid of everybody that had stopped looking for work out of the unemployment and just said, oh, I guess they just don't want to work, so we won't count them as unemployed.
Yeah, that part. I think they did the same thing in LA. They did the same thing in New York, because they just guesstimated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but then when you do a deep dive and you go actually ask these municipalities, they're like, nah, it's kind of crazy here. Yeah. I think Jesse Waters did a whole story on it.
Yeah, and Douglas County, if with the vehicle theft, Douglas County, which is where I live, there, you know, the story opens, the story that we were talking about in Fox, mm-hmm. the Fox 31 story opens with the cops chasing a stolen vehicle down the highway. And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. we're not going to let you get away with this. And like the rest of the cops in the states are like, yeah, we can't really prioritize that right now. It's probably because, you know, murders and stuff, which is more important than vehicle theft. But you can't just stop investigating crimes. CBS News reported vandalism on the DU campus. This was a couple weeks ago, and I think we were going to cover it on last week's show, but we ran out of time. My favorite part about this story is that CBS News says there were vandals, and we don't know. It was like, there's red paint accompanied by some words. The words were F. Lockheed Martin. I don't know what it is that they're upset about. Maybe the military industrial complex. There's like 8 Lockheed Martin campuses in the greater metro area.
Are you serious? Wow.
There's a bunch. Yeah, I don't know if it's 8. I think it's got it in the broader Front Range area. It's got to be at least 8. There's 2 at either end of Chatfield Reservoir. There's 1 on both sides of it.
Didn't know that. This is news to me.
Yeah, so it's unclear why CBS would decide to ignore the F. Lockheed Martin part of the story, but you know, you do you. We had a 10th Circuit Court of Appeals overturn a trial court that ruled, this was a 2021 Fourth Amendment case from the Elmore family. There was concerns. It was an overdose case, and mm-hmm. the cops came in and were looking for evidence of a crime, kept the family out. Turns out that it was a Fourth Amendment violation. 10th Circuit Court of Appeals overturned it. So that's good, you know. Yeah. But one thing that gives me great hope in this world is that in this Colorado world is that the Colorado courts are subject to appeals, right? There is an appellate court that is not wholly staffed by George Soros's fever dreams of judges and prosecutors. And, you know, don't ever concede to them. Fight
George,
back.
George doesn't have, like, this dude is like Dr. Claw.
It's like, Alex now. And really, they're just faces for the broader cabal, the rainbow cabal. We had some kids stole a bunch of guns from Colorado Springs Sporting Goods Store earlier this month. So we'll wait and see if those guns show up in crimes.
Okay.
Any
over and unders?
I don't know. I don't know that they would tell us.
You got to place your bets.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to know more about the socio-demographic background of the kids before we can determine whether or not they will tell us whether those firearms were used in crimes. Because right. They could be stolen and then sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could be stolen and then used. They could be stolen and just, you know, locked in the house, hoping their parents don't find out that they were the ones that stole the guns from the sporting goods store.
And how old were these kids?
Yeah, I don't know if they told us. Let's go into this story and see if they told us. Colorado Springs are looking for several people believed to be juveniles who allegedly broke into a sporting goods store. So I don't think they got him. No, this is when is this? May 22nd. So 10 days ago, no arrests have been made.
Okay.
We will follow up on that case in next week's show to see for sure.
Is that dude wearing a Corona shirt?
Let's see. He sure is. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He, hang on. I want to zoom in on this guy's face. Now, this is. They don't look like juveniles.
No, these look like grown men.
Yeah. Oh, they're just kids.
That's not a kid. That is not a kid. Hector is grown, okay? Hector is grown.
He looks like somebody took one of the Lord of the Rings goblins and threw a Corona shirt on him.
He looks like one of the bad guys at Training Day.
What is happening?
Hey, Alonso.
Yeah, we think it was juveniles. Holy cow.
I do like Alonso.
Stop blaming kids, man.
Alonso's coming over. I stole the guns from the store.
Yeah, no, these are not kids.
No, that's a grown ass man.
All right. Rounding out the crime news that we have, a suspect was arrested after a woman was killed in a domestic violence related shooting early Thursday morning, Sheridan police said. Woman was found dead in the 3400 block of West Dill Road. And they got that guy, I think, if I remember the story correctly. A suspect was arrested after a woman was killed in domestic-related shooting. Early Thursday morning, Sheridan Police Department said. It's coming out of 9 News. Woman was found dead, which is near Bellevue and Federal Boulevard. Police said around 11:30 a.m. that suspect was arrested in connection with the shooting. Roy Jones, 53, was arrested in Adams County and is being held on a first-degree murder charge.
Well, there goes that.
I don't know. Do we know if they knew each other? They're not saying. Yeah,
it just
I don't
said
know.
Domestic. So I mean, typically when you hear domestic, you presume that these people know each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, it usually means they're living together.
It's smashing. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Let's see. Yeah. Then we got this guy. I wanted to put him in here specifically for you because you're gonna like this guy. This is Narenti Rapone. Narenti Rapone.
Naruto what?
Narenti. Narendi.
Oh. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. 22 years old. He stabbed his former girlfriend. I think she was his former girlfriend in July of last year. He pleaded guilty and she's dead. He killed her.
Narendi?
Narenti Rapone.
Yeah, he looks like a stabbing type. He does look like
he looks a little stabby. Yeah.
He does look a little, you know, there's a little stabosity going on there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, don't come to Colorado if you don't want to get stabbed. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, here we go.
Boom shakalaka.
I like that one. Do you get the Alex Jones war cry yesterday? did you see that? Hang on a second. Alex,
trying to ruin it.
End with the Alex Jones war cry.
Don't do my dog like that.
It was a long one. Here we go.
That is the most masculine cry I've ever seen.
Well, no, I'm not talking about him actually. Like, no, he did actually cry. You're right about that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his actual war cry.
War cry. Oh, dude.
Here we go. Yeah. This is, how long is this? 41 seconds. Okay.
We have to stay here. We have to let them shut us down. We have to stand all the way to the end, and we're going to win.
Jones, I think everybody needs a war cry, man. Can you muster a war cry?
It's a big joke.
It's not really, though. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's also inspiring.
My voice will completely go. It's
good to know he's still killing a tree before every show.
It's a God's transmission. It's a human under attack.
That's my God. You ever seen the one with... You ever seen the one, the compilation with the music in the background?
I don't know. I have seen Alex Jones rants as an indie folk song, which is one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah, I saw the video today of him taking his ivermectin.
Yeah.
So he had like the horse, he had the paste, and then he put it on the spoon, and then he topped it off with an ivermectin pill. I think that's too much of a dosage. Yeah. I
always tapped off the horse paste with peanut butter. Because it makes it not taste like chemicals.
Yeah, because he was like, he's like, I'm gonna take this right now in front of everybody.
Good impression. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so we're gonna do a show where you're Alex Jones, and we're gonna do a show where you're Finn Tutorola.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are out of time, everybody. And before we head out. Let's head over to epicminerals.net and talk
somebody,
a little bit.
I'm looking at the chat on the Rumble. Somebody said he looks like a real life troll.
Oh, we talking about Alex Jones or the dude that robbed the gun that robbed the sporting goods store? Got to be the sporting goods store.
About the sporting goods dude.
Excellent. Yeah, no, he did. That's why, like, it looks like somebody threw a Corona shirt on the set of. Yo, Lord of the Rings.
We got good comments.
Hey, Precious.
Hey, we got to start bringing up comments.
I know. I need to get better of that, especially because we have like eight. We're streaming to eight different locations, and we can pull in, I think, the Rumble ones. If you are commenting on X or on Getter, I don't think we can pull in the comments, but we can pull them in on Rumble. So definitely. Do that. So let's talk about epicminerals.net. If we head over there, you can get the zeolite extra spray. I've got that right here. I take it every single day. I took it today. I don't want to overdose on zeolite. So I'm not going to usually in the morning on the brief. I do the brief over on Badlands in the mornings and I take it on the air, but I already took it today. So I don't want to overdose. I don't even know if you can overdose. We've got a whole bunch of different products. I'm a big fan of the body butter. You've tried the body butter now. Ashy Darren, what'd you think?
Hold on. Excuse me. I am classy Darren now. Okay.
Yeah, heck yeah. From ashy to classy.
From ashy to classy.
Love it.
Thank you very much. Work it.
So head over to epicminerals.net. You can get the zeolite, you can get the scalp serum, you can get the body butter, you can get the artisan soaps, more products dropping all the time. Absolutely excellent stuff. We're big fans and you support us as well. You support Darren and I when you head over to epicminerals.net and use promo code ASH. I believe there's also a deal with Patrick is giving away Threadfest coins as part of a special deal, which is kind of a cool thing if you know what Threadfest is. If you don't know what Threadfest is, it probably is not a cool thing for you. But for those that do, it's quite the deal. That is the show that we have today. I'm sure we'll be back next week to talk more crime.
Indubitably.
It's a whole week full of crimes that haven't happened yet, Darren.
Can't wait.
Just criming around out there. Just looking around, waiting.
Crime it up.
Waiting to drop some criming. All right, everybody. Well, we do this show every Sunday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I talk about what it's like to live in Colorado, and Darren talks about how great it was to flee Colorado after he was born. And we will be back next week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And have a freaking fantastic week, everyone. Happy June.
Yeah, happy June.